This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
All right. What's up, everybody?
Hey, man, we're so glad you guys are here with us this morning. So glad you guys survived Snowpocalypse 2021. How many of you enjoyed the weather this week? Anybody? If I could see through the fog, I would probably have a better idea. How many of you, this is just, this weather stinks. You live in Texas for a reason, and you don't want to see any of that nasty white stuff all over the place. Got a few of you, right? Here's a kind of funny, interesting story. Shelly and I, we're selling the house. We've been in a house for almost 10 years, and we're selling it. We're doing something different. And so the people who are buying our house are moving from California, and we're just like, they have no idea. Like, what a rarity, right, that, you know, it's like this, and this is the week that they're moving in. I'm like, have fun with that. So, anyway, how many of you busted your butt this week at some point? Anybody? All right. Did anybody have, like, any, like, real wounds from falling? Some good ones? All right. I don't feel bad for those of you who fell. I have sympathy for those of you who got hurt when you fell. Falling's funny, man. It's just... We were driving down the road the other day, and of course somebody gets stuck going up a hill because that's what people do, right? And so the guy that was in front of him stops, and he's going to be this, you know, knight in shining armor and help them. Wow, that is loud. Knight in shining armor and help them. And so he jumps out of his big F-250 truck, boy, shoot, and ate it. It was awesome. And so... anyway, all that to say, I'm so glad you guys are here. That was a long introduction for the snow and the weather this week. And here's what I love. I love that it kind of reminds us it's the absence makes the heart grow fonder. I think a lot of times when you're in a situation like that where things are taken away from you, you start to realize what really matters. And so for me, one of the things that is always reminding me, or I'm always reminded of in situations where you know, there's a lot of things being taken away, is how important this is, right? The gathering and coming together and being together is extremely important. I love it. I love this church. I tell people all the time, I would come to this church even if I wasn't the pastor. And I really do mean that. I think this church is so dope, right? It's so cool. I love, love, love this church. If you're a guest, we're different, and we embrace that. There's a lot of great churches in town, but there ain't one like this, all right? So anyway... we're continuing a series this week called TLC. Now, what we do every year in February, is the month of love. Everybody, on three, everybody say it with me in your deepest, like Barry Manilow, Barry White, that's what I was going for. How about Marvin Gaye, right? He's got a little bass in the voice, right? So on three, we're going to go love in the deepest voice you can possibly muster up. One, two, three, love. Did y'all see that? I love the nerds. Yes, my people's people. So we always do, in the month of February, we always do a series on relationships. Now, the reason we do it also kind of periodically throughout the year, and so one of the reasons that we talk about relationships so much is because relationships are hard. I don't know if you know this, and I have no idea what the number actually is, of the percentage of, let's just say, dating relationships that begin and end, right? What is the survival rate of dating relationships that actually then would progress into, you know, engagements or marriages? I'm sure it's low, right? They usually don't work out. And even friendships, you see friendships that kind of, you know, fizzle out. You see, in the world that we live in, even marriages dissolve at a way higher rate than they should. And so we understand that relationships are challenging. Is there anybody that doesn't think that, right? If you're here, we need to talk to you and figure out what you're doing. If that's your situation, your belief about relationships is that they are not challenging, you live alone under a rock or in a trailer by a river in the woods. Now, the rest of us who have to interact or commingle, right, or kind of do life with other people, we understand that there are some challenges, and that's okay. They're challenges that are good. Challenges aren't a bad thing. right? Like things that are hard can actually be rewarding. In fact, I think the most rewarding things are the hardest things that we do, and relationships are kind of in that vein. And so we've been looking at TLC and what it takes to have these strong and healthy relationships. We understand that relationships have to have special attention, right? This tender, loving care. And so we kind of talked about that briefly, but we're going to kind of add some depth to it, another layer to the TLC. I think that not only does a relationship need the tender, loving care, but I think there's also other components that will help it to be more successful, because we need all the help we can get, right? I don't know about you, I need all the help I can get. I'll only speak for myself when it comes to all of this. So last week we talked about, I told you guys I love acronyms, and so TLC obviously is an acronym, but I wasn't satisfied with that, so I wanted to create my own acronym. And so last week we talked about the T, which is the towel, and taking up our towel to serve each other like Jesus did, right? How Jesus served the men who should have been serving him. It says that the Son of Man, Jesus, didn't even come to be served, but to serve. And so we just kind of have to take on that same mentality in our relationships. And so this week, we're going to look at the alternative to the L. Like, loving is great, right? But we're going to look at some other L's. In fact, we're going to look at two L's, one obvious, one less obvious. And so because we're looking at L's and we're looking at relationships, are y'all ready for the title for the message today? Are you ready? Shelly's ready. She said, get ready, get ready, get ready. Like T.D. Jakes. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Okay. The bishop is in the house. I just need some alligator shoes. Just maybe next week. So the title for today's message is, are you ready? For real? L's to avoid the L. These are some L's to avoid the L. And if you don't know what that means, I can't help you. No, I'm just kidding. No. A lot of times when somebody loses, they call it the L, right? When you take the L, you lose. And so I'm going to give you some L's, some of these things that we can implement into our relationships that will keep us from taking the L. So L's to avoid the L. You guys didn't respond to that nearly as much as... It's too late. It's too late. It is too late, right? Listen, y'all are like a Chinese movie that's been dubbed over, right? When the it's just off, right? It's late. So the first L, this one again, is kind of the obvious. So L is for loyalty. L is for loyalty. Do you guys know what loyalty is in our world? It's a unicorn. We hear about them. We just don't ever see them, right? Now, if you see unicorns, we're going to have to get you into rehab. Yeah. So here's the deal. We hear about loyalty. We know what loyalty is, right? We've all understood. We understand basically the concepts, the constructs of loyalty. We understand that to be in some sort of relationship that has some semblance of success and health, that we have to be loyal to each other. We have to be committed to each other. We have to be, you know, kind of, there has to be depth to the relationship based on more than just this surface level, kind of where everybody tends to stop with the relationships. And the problem is, I think, that even within the definition of loyalty, you start to see some kind of cracks or chinks in the armor. The problem is, we've bought hook, line, and sinker into this idea that relationships are about how it makes me feel. We talked about this a little bit last week, but I think there's a very strong correlation here when it comes to loyalty. Matter of fact, look at this. The definition of loyalty is this. It is a strong feeling of support or allegiance. A strong feeling of support or allegiance. Now, we all know the problem with our feelings. They're unstable. They are untrustworthy. My feelings are about the most volatile part of my life. Like, if I lived every day based on how I feel, there would be a lot of people getting punched. There would be a lot of, y'all remember Demolition Derby? There would be a lot of Demolition Derby. Get out of my way. Like, bigger truck wins, right? If I live based on how I feel, I would say some things to people that I had no business saying, right? We do not, man, y'all are feeling that. We do not, we cannot, we should not live based on how we feel. There's a higher calling, a higher standard, right? Is love a feeling? It's part of it, right? Isn't at least in part, like there's that feeling. The problem is, again, doesn't that feeling change over time? Initially, it's butterflies, right? The excitement of something new, and you're so excited. And here's what's so interesting about relationships. The thing that excites you in the beginning drives you nuts later. And so if it's all about the feeling that you had in the beginning, well, then the feeling that you had in the beginning that you don't have later on isn't there. Do you just walk out? And so we understand that feelings are important. Feelings are good, right? We don't, God created us mind, body, soul, spirit, emotion, health, like every aspect of us, right? God gave it to us, and there's a purpose for it. But we have to keep our feelings kind of as part of the equation, not writing the whole narrative of our lives. And so the problem, like I said, is we've bought hook, line, and sinker into this idea that relationships are how, or what is good about a relationship is how it makes me feel. What is good about our relationship, the strength of our relationship, my commitment to you is how I feel about you. And that's not obvious. There's deficiencies in that, right? We understand that that doesn't always work. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. If you've ever been to a wedding, you've heard this passage, right? I think it would be sinful to go to a wedding or to officiate a wedding and not work in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 at some point. It says this: love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Are you starting to see kind of the pattern here? How much of that is based on how you feel? Right? Very little. I mean, again, feeling is factored in. It's part of the equation, but it's not about how you feel. So it's not easily angered. In fact, your feelings need to kind of take their place in the overall picture of what love is, what a relationship is. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. If Paul wrote that today, he would put like bold, underlined, tweet it. I mean, just it keeps no record of wrongs. We'll talk about that more in a little bit. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Verse 7 says that it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. It always perseveres. And in verse 8, it says that love never fails. Like, isn't that what loyalty is, right? It's perseverance. Perseverance isn't perseverance unless there's adversity, right? If you're on the treadmill, but the treadmill isn't going anywhere, are you really on a treadmill? It's almost like if you take a picture and you don't post it at the gym, did you really go to the gym? I'm just kidding. No, I'm not actually. Does it even count? Do the calories that you burned even count if you didn't follow through and take a picture and post it that you were at the gym burning them calories, right? I'm just kidding. So bear with me here, right? This is kind of the point. So perseverance only takes place when there's adversity, when things get hard. You're not persevering if everything is easy. You're not persevering if there are no challenges. Perseverance requires there must be conflict. There must be adversity. There must be differences of opinions and differences of everything about us, really, that requires perseverance or creates perseverance. And so when perseverance is in effect, then we can start to see what loyalty actually looks like. You realize that. And again, I love the way this passage ends. It says that love never fails, and we start to understand that that is what loyalty is. It's not that you're perfect. It's not that I'm perfect. It's not that you always feel some type of way about me and I always feel some type of way about you, which is, I think, the modern way of saying what we don't understand. Y'all notice how we do this? It's like, yeah. Well, it is what it is. Well, what is it? Right? You got me feeling some type of way. Well, how you feel, right? So I don't always have to feel some type of way about you, and you don't always have to feel some type of way about me, but we are still committed to each other. We're loyal to each other. We're faithful to each other. We persevere regardless of how we feel. And so what we find is that, man, it's unfortunate. We quit on people when they don't do for us what they used to do for us. We don't have to be flaky and shady and quit on people and throw in the towel on relationships. What if there was a little bit more loyalty in our relationships? And again, here's what's unfortunate. I think we've all, most of us, have bought into, at least to some degree, this selfish idea that relationships are about what you can get out of them, right? And again, I think we talked about this last week. It's not even nefarious necessarily. It's not like we go into relationships like, what can I steal from this person? Not material possession, right? But what do they have that I want? Do they have a talent that I could use? Do they have a resource that I could abuse, right? Do they make me feel a certain way and I'm going to take from them so that I feel better? And so what you find is when that feeling or that thing runs out, most people check out of the relationship. That's not loyalty. We find loyalty that is predicated on circumstances. Is circumstantial loyalty really loyalty? It's an oxymoron, isn't it? That loyalty, I'm committed to you, I'm loyal to you as long as X doesn't change in the equation. Right? Well, that's not really loyalty. That is commitment to a circumstance, not to a person. You find commitment to, or this loyalty that's predicated on circumstances. You find commitment that is based on emotion. And we're in as long as I feel good about it. We're in as long as you kind of get those endorphins going in my body and I start to feel good about the relationship. As long as all of that stuff is still happening, then I'm committed and I'm loyal. And as we all know, those things change. Right? Now, it's still there to some degree, I'm sure, and it ebbs and flows, and you have, you know, seasons where it's higher, seasons where it's lower, but generally speaking, nothing is as exciting as it was at the beginning. Why do you think, if that's not the case, why have companies, marketing companies, and these massive corporations spent billions of dollars research and development, and they figured out, in order to get us to consume more, to buy more, they put new on everything? I'm like, well, that's weird. I've been buying the same cereal for 40 years, but now it's new. Let me buy some more. Because we understand that new is exciting, right? New does something and makes us feel a certain type of way. And so we get in, we dig it, we like it. So we're all about it. And so the problem is that new wears off. We know that. And so we see this again: loyalty predicated on circumstances, commitment based on emotion, and devotion that is dependent on the return. I am devoted to you as long as I am receiving something out of this relationship. Again, we understand what loyalty is. We just don't see a whole lot of it. It's the unicorn in our world. I would venture to say, and this is just my opinion, that probably the thing that is most lacking in most relationships today is like this deep, deep, deep loyalty. How many people do you know? Again, people maybe who are more seasoned in life, people who are older, it seems like the older you get, the less friends you have. Seems like. I mean, just, again, my observation. And maybe there are other, extemporaneous, you know what I'm saying, reasons for this, but I think generally speaking, it's just there's not a lot of loyalty. There's not a lot of commitment to each other. So we understand what loyalty isn't. What is loyalty? Loyalty is firm and constant. It's unwavering in the face of adversity. It is not predicated on circumstances. It's not always about how you feel. At times, it's about how the other person feels. Can you believe that? How fascinating is it that a relationship is actually a two-way street? It's not always what you receive, but it's oftentimes what you give. In fact, there are times when loyalty will require sacrifice on your part. Like, in order for you to be loyal, or in order for you to receive loyalty, you have to give loyalty. And I think sometimes in order for you to receive loyalty, you have to sacrifice in order to give loyalty so that you receive loyalty. You know what it is? It's so fascinating to me that we want things that we're not willing to give. Isn't that kind of funny? As a perfect example, this is just a really good example. Nobody that I know is like, man, I just really want to be poor. I want for the rest of my life to struggle financially. I want to have a hard time. I want the month to run out before the bills due. I just really want to struggle financially for the rest of my life. Nobody I don't know anybody that talks like that. Most people I know are ambitious. They want a better life. They want more financially and in terms of resources. Now, in order, this is the way that I understand it. God says that to test me in this, prove me in this, give and it'll be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Right? And yet, in spite of that, so many people are stingy and greedy. Now, here's what this is just, again, my observation based on years of looking at people. People who are stingy, greedy, and hold everything close to the breast generally don't have a whole lot. People who are open-handed and generous, they tend to have more. And you do with that what you want, but I think there's a principle at work where God gives to those who are willing to give. God gives to those who are willing to give. So if we want loyalty, we have to be willing to give loyalty. We understand that. We know what loyalty is by definition, you know, and we know examples and illustrations and pockets of it. It's small. It's not something we see commonly, right? But it is something that's out there, and it's something that we should all strive for more of. So that's the obvious L that we need to have in our relationships so that we don't take the L in our relationships. Let's talk about the less obvious one. I want to spend a little bit more time on this, and everybody's like, dang it. I promise we won't be long. I always tell people, anytime we talk about the church, and they're like, well, where's your church at? And nobody ever knows where, you know, Judson, where, oh yeah, off of Judson Road. By Posados. Oh yeah, Posados. I'm like, that's the most obscure, overrated, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But the problem, listen, I'm a Telly's, El Sombrero, this is my jam. I eat Mexican food. You guys think I'm playing. I eat Mexican food about 4 times a week. And that explains all of the problems I have in my life, right? So the problem with being next to a Mexican restaurant is about 12 o'clock, that fajita smell starts rolling through. And you fellas, y'all get very intolerant and impatient of long-winded preachers. So I will hurry. I will get through this. So the first L was L is for loyalty. The second, again, less obvious L is that L is for lenient. Lenient. Now, I'm gonna go kind of a few different places with this, but I want us just to think for a moment about how we could probably use a little bit more of this in our lives and how we could give a little bit more of this in our lives. Now, I don't know how you work. In my mind, everybody else is dumb. I'm just telling you. Like, man, and I really do. I love people. I really do. But when you start, even with like people that you really, really care about, you just don't see things the same way. And they don't do things how you would want them to do things. As a matter of fact, I'll give you a perfect example. So yesterday, the gym opened back up, thank God, right? So the gym opened back up. So we went to the gym in the morning, and Shelly had to go do some stuff. So she took my car, because my car is, you know, four-wheel drive, manly stuff, right? And so she just, you know, felt better on the roads with my car. So she took my car, she comes back, she picks me up from the gym. Well, so the parking lot's real sloshy, so she didn't get out. I just jumped in the passenger seat, and we had to go to Home Depot. That is about 0.3 miles. And the whole time, and I'm like, what are you doing? Turn. Watch out. What are you doing? Faster! Like, I'm almost having this mini panic attack because she's not doing things how I would do things. And look, and that's a silly example, but I think you understand where I'm coming from, right? In order for any relationship, whatever the nature of the relationship is, be spouses, friends, children, siblings, coworkers, we have to have a little more grace in those relationships, a little more leniency in those relationships. In fact, I think kind of giving space for the fact that we are all so different. Man, we're all so different. God made us that way, didn't he? God created us individualistic, right? He gave us all of our unique personality characteristics and our preferences, like the things that we like that nobody else likes. Some of you like some of the strangest foods. Like we were talking earlier and somebody was talking about how much they love oysters. And I'm like, nah, dog, I'm good. Like, if it's not red meat, I don't know how interested I'm in. I want beef, right? And that's fine. Like, eat what you eat. Like what you like. Shelley is a vegetarian. And I'm like, more meat for me. So instead of, like, resisting the difference, embrace the difference. I don't know. And, yeah, you guys understand where I'm coming from. So we have to make space for the fact that we're all so different. And that's just kind of the good stuff, isn't it? That's kind of the things, if you think about the personalities and the preferences that we have. We like different things, we feel different things, we think different things, and we see different things. Sometimes we even say things differently. Sometimes, like, some people emphasize something, and you're like, well, why'd you say it like that? And we get offended, we start to get upset, we have no leniency because they said it in a way that's different than the way that we would say it, even though they didn't mean anything by it, right? We're just all so different, and that's all good stuff. What about the bad stuff? What about the fact that, hey, we all make mistakes? We've all got our own shortcomings, we've got our deficiencies, we've got our idiosyncrasies, our quirks, our flaws, we've all got our pasts. We've got our own life experiences that we bring into every single relationship that usually in some way forms how we approach our current relationship. So we bring all of this into a relationship and we think everything's just going to go swimmingly. But you have to say that with like an English accent. I feel like that always happens with an English accent, right? We think everything's just going to be real easy, even though we're all so different and we all bring so much different to the table. If you want any relationship to work long term, there has to be leniency. There has to be some, you have to be lenient with them and they have to be lenient with you. And again, we'll kind of look at what this means specifically and kind of drill down just a little bit. So the being the case that we're all so different, we have to, I think, create space, make space for our differences is a good way to define it. Another way that I think we could put kind of in terms of a label or a term on it would be to make allowance for. We make allowance for the fact that you're different than me and I'm different than you. Look at how Scripture says this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, it says this. Always be humble and gentle. And we could probably stop right there and preach a 3-month series. And I'll be honest, like, humble is something that like, you know, for some people comes easier than others. For me, the one that I really struggle with is the gentle part. Just like, gentle is not, yeah, it's not my jam, right? Gentle is not my jam. And not even in it, like, not just like, sometimes, maybe you can identify with this. Maybe you can, like, your default response to stuff is not like, oh, it's okay. Your default response to stuff is like, what? So I struggle with my gentleness. So always, will you stop laughing? Shelly, you are not. Shelly's like, oh, it's okay. It's just fine. And then she beats me up. So always be humble and gentle. What, y'all getting me off on the stuff. We're not even talking about that part. The rest of it. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Oh my God. It's right there in Scripture. And it tells us to do it. And we still don't do it. And I have proof because I got on Facebook this week. I got proof. Actually, this week's been better because everybody's been sharing snow pictures. Let's go back 2 weeks. I got proof. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Wow. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Man, like that is life-changing stuff. That is marriage-changing stuff. That is friendship-changing stuff. Be patient. lenient. Isn't another word for that? Isn't a way to hey, I understand that you made, I don't understand why you made a mistake, but I understand that I make mistakes too. So I understand that you made a mistake, and I'm not going to freak out on you. I'm not going to cancel you. Am I allowed to say that? Are we going to get canceled because we're talking about canceling? I got to stop. I have so many things to say. Be patient with each other, making allowance for your faults. Because here's what's interesting. Here's what's interesting about other people's faults. They're so obvious to us, aren't they? What about your own faults? Aren't those sometimes, and again, I know how we arrive at these conclusions that we arrive at. I understand my faults because I understand the process that led to my faults, right? I know how I got where I'm at, and I know all of the justifications that I used along the way to get me to where I'm at. So my faults are almost, in my mind, justified, right? But your faults, that's just dumb. Do y'all know what I'm saying? Does anybody else feel like that, or am I just bearing my soul for no good reason? So this is where I think it gets kind of interesting. Again, thinking in terms of this word lenient. Where do we most often hear this word lenient? I think we hear it, it's kind of got a very judicious nature to it, right? So you have a criminal, let's say he's you know, convicted of a crime, and so he is guilty, he is proven guilty in the court of law, and you know, it's said so by peers, right? These jurors have deliberated, and they've decided, hey, this dude is guilty. Then what would happen at that point, which is kind of interesting because that's where we all are, is at a stage of guilt, right? We arrive at a place in our lives where we all fall short of the glory of God. We all sin, right? So there's a place of guilt that we have come to. And so what happens then is that those who are convicted of these crimes will then throw themselves at the mercy of the court, and they will beg the judge for leniency. So he's been convicted, right? He is, beyond the shadow of a doubt, guilty. And then it's the judge's responsibility to determine the sentence. And he's begging for leniency. And so obviously, you know, you kind of understand in a larger sense, like God is the judge. And what did he do with our sentence? What did he do with your clearly guilty verdict and all of the sin that you've ever committed, all of the sin of the entire world? He's the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. For what purpose? To make atonement for all of the sin of the world. And so we understand kind of in a larger sense of that, but also I think in a micro sense in our own personal lives, in many ways, we are the judge for other people. Now, don't come at me, bro, with all that, like, you can't judge me. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, did you read the rest of the Bible? But anyway, but in this particular circumstance, you have the power to choose the sentence that you pass on to them. Are you gonna hold a grudge for the rest of your life for real? Like, for real? Do y'all know what a grudge is? It's unforgiveness, right? Do you know what unforgiveness is? It's like you drinking poison and expecting it to hurt the other person. Think about it. Listen, y'all stop that slow clap stuff, man. Like, if you got to come in at the right time. Drinking, it's like drinking poison. Unforgiveness, when you're not willing to forgive somebody, we know what unforgiveness does. We know the feelings. Because, listen, you've been walking in Walmart, and you saw somebody you didn't want to see, and you start, no? And you start to have these feelings that you forgot that you had, and the next 3 days of your life is ruined because your mind and your emotions and your feelings are all out of whack because you've got some unforgiveness that you haven't dealt with. Unforgiveness is like you drinking poison and thinking it's going to hurt the other person. They don't even know that you were there. They never saw you in Walmart because you avoided them like the plague and you just ruined your life. Right? Well, how did we get off on that? I don't even know. Leniency, the judge, right? So we're the judge. We're the judge. How long are you going to hold the grudge, judge? How long are you going to hold people hostage for the mistakes that they've made when you've made the same mistakes? God. And look, I can preach this stuff because I'm struggling with this stuff, right? These are the same things. I think we all deal with this on some level. It's easy for us to get frustrated with people and just completely almost give up on people. But don't give up. Don't give up on people. So the parallel, in a sense, when you think about this word leniency, is that we are the judges. And we choose, we have the power to choose how we respond to people when there is an offense. So by the time the judge gets to make the decision, it's already proven, again, beyond the shadow of the doubt, that they're wrong. They are wrong. We can all come together and freely admit that they're wrong, but you still have the power to choose how you sentence them. And the way that you sentence them determines how you're going to live your life. Did you know that the harshest judge lived the harshest lives? I mean, isn't that what Matthew chapter 7 is really about? He's like, hey, don't judge, because the standard with which you judge is the standard that you're going to be judged by. Uh-oh. Preach, white boy. I'm coming, right? That's too much. Stop. The standard that we judge, the level of commitment, or I'm sorry, the level of criticism, the level of critique, the level of unfair expectation that we place on other people then becomes the standard that our lives are judged by. So you hold the power to choose how you judge other people, but when you pass that judgment on to them, remember what's coming back at you. So you have the power to choose. Choose wisely. Choose leniently. Leniently. That's a fun word. It's a good one. So that's one of the ways that we think of the word leniency, and one of the ways that obviously it applies to us. But did you know, I didn't know this. If you know this, you need to be on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. You can do like the trivia stuff. But the word lenient was actually originally from a Latin word. They started using it around the 1700s. And it was actually originally, kind of again, the origin of the word lenient was to describe the efficacy of medical remedies. And so if these medical remedies were effective in easing pain and discomfort, they were described as lenient. Man, that's good, right? The leniency of the medicine would kind of, again, the way that, let's just kind of back up and think about this in a bigger sense, in a larger sense. So how effective it is at taking away pain means that it has a greater leniency. How effective it is at softening discomfort means that it has a greater leniency. And so when I start to think about like our lives, right? Like they're in our relationships. Good. Preach, white boy. Right? Even, listen, if y'all won't make noise, the guitar will. It's cool. At least it was, the timing on the guitar, I think, was a little better than y'all's has been today. Let's be honest. Had some dramatic effect to it. So let's think about this for us just for a moment. Leniency in our lives. Every relationship will have pain. Now, y'all remember when we were in junior high, right? We talked about this a little bit last week. It's just like that puppy dog love. Y'all know what puppy dog love does? It leads to a dog's life. Puppies grow up, and then they just tear everything up, and they destroy everything, and they stink. They don't smell the same. Their breath is funky. Some of y'all like puppy breath? Yeah, go smell a dog's breath. Some people are like, a dog, their tongue is cleaner than the tongue of a human. Yeah, but I just saw them licking the least clean part of their body. So you go ahead. I'm not. I'm out. I don't need all that. So puppy love. Leads to a dog's life. We at that stage in our relationships, we do not think that there's going to be pain in the relationship. Let me kind of break your heart here, Cinderella. Every relationship will have pain. As a matter of fact, can we even go back to like the stories that we tell our children? Like, so it's like we have these stories of Cinderella as a perfect example. There's a lot of pain in that relationship. It's crazy. That story is nuts. Like this, you know, anyway. We're not going to get off on that. There is pain in our relationships. So that being the case, the fact that there is pain in the relationship, that means that there needs to be leniency to ease the pain. Yeah. It's uncomfortable sometimes, right? Like, and here's what's so fascinating about this. Sometimes the discomfort in a relationship has nothing to do with you. Maybe that person is going through some stuff. You're still part of their life, but what they're going through has nothing to do with you. You can still provide comfort, soften the discomfort, provide leniency in their life, and you don't have to make every... This is newsflash. You don't have to make everything about you. Just somebody could be having a bad day, and they're not even mad at you. So somebody could be having a bad week, and you did nothing wrong. So stop making it about you. Nobody in here would do this, right? So we bring leniency. I think if you had to choose one word to replace the word lenient, it would clearly, in my mind, be grace, right? Like making allowance for the faults of other people, making room for our differences. It would have to be grace. The Greek word for grace is the word charis, and the definition of that is it's charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, charis. And the definition of grace is unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. It's the word that we use when we say, you know, it's by grace that you have been saved. In Ephesians chapter 2, it is by grace that you have been saved. Like God gives it to us. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it, but he gives it to us anyway. It's unmerited favor. And so I think when you think about our lives and our relationships, man, we could use a little bit more of that in and out, right? We could receive a little bit more of it, and we could give a little bit more of it. This unmerited favor, not something that they earned, but something that we give freely anyway. Disclaimer. I think this is, anytime you talk about stuff like this, I think it's fair to have just a little bit of a disclaimer. There are times where it's okay to walk away from a relationship, right? I know we always talk about not giving up, and we talked about loyalty and all of that stuff, but there are times when boundaries are crossed and you have to prayerfully consider what those are, and I think seeking counsel is always a really kind of important step in that process. There is a time at which it is okay to walk away from the relationship. Now, I think most of the time we walk away when we shouldn't, but that's generally kind of just where we're at, right? Everybody cool with that? Everybody understand what we're saying? So as a general rule, I think we could all benefit from more grace, not less grace. I think we could all benefit from more understanding, more patience, more leniency, not less understanding and patience and leniency. So I think the greatest way for us to tap into this level of patience and understanding with each other is to be reminded of kind of the larger narrative, right? The story of our lives is that he who has been forgiven much loves much. Man, it's a lot easier for me when I frame things properly, right? When I look at it through the right lens that, hey, you know what? You said something that, man, it just really bothered me. Jesus died on a cross for my sins. You said something that really bothered me. He who has been forgiven much loves much, right? So when you start to get the right perspective, man, it changes everything. It doesn't make it easy necessarily, but it helps us to grasp and move forward and process with the things that we go through. Yeah, you're going to be offended by things. Yeah, people are going to hurt you, but you've also been forgiven so much. Jesus took the every sin in your life. Just think about some of the ways that Scripture describes that exchange, right? He took upon himself the sin of the world. We talked about he was the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. It says that he took his sin and he removed it from you as far as the east is from the west. Now, if you think in terms of a globe, you can't get any further than the east is from the west. It is as far away from you as it could possibly be. We understand snow this week. Who would have thought? Texas, eh? Right? You got to say it like a Canadian, eh? Eh? So we understand snow this week. It talks about how our sins were scarlet, but he made them white as snow. Like so this is the relationship that we have with grace. What if our relationship with others started to resemble and reflect more of that same grace? It talks about how he took our sin and he cast it into a sea of forgetfulness. What if Just a hypothetical, right? What if that's the way that God approaches us, that he's removed our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. He's taken our sins that were like scarlet and he's made them white as snow. He's thrown them into a sea of forgetfulness. What if we started trying to emulate that to some degree? What if we stopped bringing up old stuff? Listen, everybody loves to talk about this stuff, but it is fascinating to me how many times people get into, we call it intense fellowship. You can call it whatever you want to call it. We got into a fight. Well, we got into intense fellowship. Which one sounds better, right? So it is fascinating that when people get into these heated exchanges and they start bringing up things from the past that you thought you had already dealt with that aren't even related to the current thing that you're dealing with. And then what happens is you have this blow up about something that isn't even related to the thing that you're blowing up about. What if we, remember the sea of forgetfulness? What if we started to act the same way, live the same way, provide, extend the same level of grace in our lives? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says this. It says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. Yeah, listen, yeah, you offended me. Yeah, you bother me. Yeah, you frustrate me. Yeah, you irritate me. Yeah, you said something that I don't like. But Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Right? Is that, how ridiculous, how absolutely pathetic the things that we get so bent out of shape about when you start to do kind of a comparison between the two. Are y'all with me on that? Are y'all struggling to see? And look, I'm irritated with myself because I get bothered by some of the most ridiculous things. Right? I just get so frustrated with people when I can't see how they see what they see. Do y'all ever do that? I'm like, how do you think that? How does that even make sense to you that you think that the world works like this? It makes zero sense to me, and it bothers me. Jesus died on the cross for my sins, right? That even when I was a sinner, while I was an enemy of God, while I was an enemy of the cross, that Jesus demonstrated his love for us, took upon himself all of the sin of the entire world, all of the offense, all of the failures, all of the faults, all of the things that would cause the consternation that we talk about, right? All of that he took upon himself and forgave us and removed it from us. And we still get hung up on these little insignificant things. What if our relationships had just a little bit more leniency? I think we would take less L's. I think our relationships would be a lot happier, since that's what everybody's after. Even though happy comes and goes, you know that, right? Like, joy is what we're really longing for, but everybody's in pursuit of happiness, and best of luck to you. I don't think it's going to work out well. Was that very, that wasn't very optimistic, was it? Let me get what I'm saying. Let me clarify that before we dismiss, right? I think so many people, and I think especially with relationships, we talked about the feeling aspect of it. Everybody's in, they want to feel good. And again, they're longing for these feelings that they think is going to scratch the itch. Feelings only scratch the itch for a little while. There's a larger issue at play. And what we're really longing for is this deep-seated contentment and joy that only comes from a relationship with Jesus. So that's the difference between happiness and joy. I think that you get the idea. So the point is really simple. Our relationships, in order to be strong and healthy and God-honoring, man, they could use a little bit more grace. An L that we could add to our relationships to keep us from taking the L is leniency. And let's be patient with each other. You know what? I don't understand your political views. You're not even supposed to talk about stuff like this in churches anymore, unfortunately. It's just crazy that we can't even talk about the fact that we're different, or we have different views on this, or we have different views on this, without it escalating to some sort of national media coverage or a fist fight. And you don't have to cancel me if you don't agree with me. I'm not going to cancel you if you don't, if I don't agree with you, right? What if we just had a little more patience with each other? What if, hey, here's a novel idea. What if instead of responding for the whole world to see on social media about somebody that you disagree with, what if you contacted them privately and asked to talk to them privately, and you met for lunch and you tried to work out your differences and you had some patience in that regard? Instead of taking 140 characters and being like, you're a freaking idiot. Tell me how much progress we're going to make. As followers of Jesus, I don't have time. I got to go. I'm sorry. We'll do this again next week. I think that our relationships would benefit so greatly if we just had a little bit more leniency with each other. Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God, that you are patient with us, that you are kind to us. God, that you are lenient with us, the great judge of the earth. That you were so lenient with us. God, we were guilty. We were wrong. We sinned. God, we fell short of your standard. And we threw ourselves before the mercy of the court, before this great judge. God, and you said that our sins are no longer. God, that you cast them into the sea of forgetfulness, as far as the east is from the west. And they were like scarlet, but you made them white as snow. God, for that we are forever grateful and thankful. But I pray that it doesn't stop there. God, I pray that we take what you've done for us and we extend that same grace to other people, to share the love that you've given to us. He who has been forgiven much loves much. God, help us to do this, to live like this, to be these kind of people of grace. Jesus, we love you. And we're so thankful for you. And it's in your incredible name we pray. And everybody said, amen.